We're traveling through the cosmos today on City Lights. I feel like Carl Sagan. And we'll get a little self-help along the way. Theatrical Outfit just opened Lost in the Cosmos, the last self-help seminar based on Walker Percy's 1983 book of the same name. Just replace seminar with book. Theatrical Outfit's artistic director Tom Key adapted the book for the stage back in the 1990s, and this time around, he invited Dad's Garage artistic director Kevin Galese to direct the show. The duo, and a dynamic one they are in studio with us. Welcome back, Tom and Kevin.
Thanks.
Hey, Lois, thanks for having us back.
Oh, great to have you here. Well, Walker Percy's book is not exactly your traditional self-help book. Tom, please tell us about the book itself.
Well, the book itself was by the man who wrote the National Book Award winning The Moviegoer. And after the huge success of that, he wrote to his publisher and said, I have a book that I think about seven people will read, but I think it's really important. And what he was trying to get at is that the problems that face the human species in our future, it's not enough just for the self-help industry to get us through. And so it was this futuristic kind of book, and I found it very captivating. And I found that if we created the character of a volunteer who takes this seminar in front of people, it turns out that there are global stakes and how the seminar concludes. So it's a very, it uses comedy to look at some very serious issues. The greatest compliment we got in 1996, after it was a big hit at that time, was people said, I was laughing, and the next morning I thought, oh my God. And they were really thinking about what was going on. And what made it interesting then was, how relevant it still was. And then 21 years later, in face of the world situation where we are now, it's not too hard to sense a dramatic plausibility of how precarious the journey of the human species is. So with a comedy of Walker Percy and a partnership with Dad's Garage, I think we're making new territory.
Ah, you are in great hands. Well, Tom Key brought in his original hardback copy of Walker Percy's Lost in the Cosmos. I love all the annotations and notes. I love to make notes in books, although I once very self-consciously apologized to an author. To a very prominent author. It was Salman Rushdie when he was in here, and he said, oh, no, I love when people write in my books.
Oh, great. That's good to know.
Okay, well, if he doesn't mind, then I'm going to do it for everything.
It is incredible, though, looking through this book, isn't it? Seeing all those annotations, it's like, wow, this was a big lift turning this text into a play.
And look how Tom's handwriting has changed over the years.
What was interesting, I got to meet, there's actually an incredible story that I will tell you. I was a long admirer of Walker Percy, and I had a mutual friend of his, Bill Sessions, who just recently passed. He has written a biography of Flannery O'Connor, and he knew Walker Percy as well. And I didn't know this, but I wrote to Walker Percy in 1990 in March, not realizing that he was ill with cancer, asking him for permission to adapt Lost in the Cosmos and to thank him for what his work meant to me. And then in May, he passed away, and I thought, well, this is probably never going to come to pass. In June, Beverly, my wife, came into rehearsal for a play I was doing, and she had this look on her face like something extraordinary had happened. Said, you got a call from Walker Percy's literary agent.
Oh my.
He got Bill's letter right before he died, and he called Eva Pryor, who was his literary agent for McIntosh and Otis, and said, extend to Tom Key the rights to adapt Lost in the Cosmos for the stage. And it was amazing. The book on which Lost in the Cosmos is based was called Message in a Bottle, which is a wonderful image, I think. And we use that as a prop in Lost in the Cosmos because it's like this message that might have meaning, that we're not alone in the cosmos. And that's what I felt like. I got a message in a bottle even after Walker Percy had passed, that there was a path to keep this wisdom and hilarity about the human condition going.
Mm, what a gift, and how humbling. Oh, that you must have just felt overcome with emotion when Beverly delivered that.
Oh, message. Yeah. It was quite a responsibility.
Well, why did you see this literary masterpiece transformed into a play? We noted that the play is the last self-help seminar, not the last self-help book.
That's a great point. I got to meet Robert Giroux of the publishing house that published Walker, and he said, "How in the world would you turn this into a play?" And what happened was I did several workshop readings in the early 90s, and there are these thought experiments in it. And it was going along fine, and I thought, well, you know, this is going to work for fans of Walker Percy, but in the theater, we need to appeal to everybody. And I had a volunteer from the audience participate in one of the thought experiments. And as soon as that happened, the whole temperature in the room changed, because that person was representing us and the audience, having to go through this ordeal of being part of this seminar, in which there are these big, the future of the human race depends on how well this person is going to do. And I thought, that's the secret. Create this volunteer that comes up and takes the seminar. Then it turns it into a play. And Loyola University invited me about 4 years ago, right after I'd taken Kevin's Improv for Actors class at Dad's Garage, and he invited me to guest star in their improvised soap opera. And this changed my life. And so they wanted me to come and do, at the Walker Percy Center in New Orleans, a presentation on Lost in the Cosmos. And I gave the script to Kevin because I was curious what to his generation this might mean. And he really...
Well, it was like a message in a bottle passed down yet again.
Exactly.
And when I opened up that bottle, I thought, this is a crazy play. I just assumed Tom Key would be handing me something a little more traditional.
Right.
And when he handed me this play that was full of these complex ideas and really absurd moments, I thought, I like this.
And
this is cool.
This is why you said yes, Kevin.
Yes, yes. I also thought it was something we could dig into. I thought it was something that the Dad's Garage aesthetic could bring some fun to, because it is a meta kind of show. Well, as Tom explained, you know, we break the fourth wall. Somebody from the audience comes into this, you know, we address the audience directly. There's a lot of kind of interaction. We're aware that there's a crowd there. We're aware that we're doing a performance. And so lends itself well to the kind of approach that improv has, where we kind of talk directly to the audience and we're aware that we're making stuff up, etc. So that was definitely part of, I think, the reason that we were a good fit.
And in fact, the actors in this production are also proficient improvisers. How does that move the play along?
Well, one thing that I've told my cast is, I said, guys, you know, because we are talking directly to the audience so much and we are aware that this is a show, we're not pretending like, oh, you're peering through the curtain into some other reality. We're like, no, here we are in a room. We're talking to you, the audience. Yeah. I said, you got to be aware of every little thing that happens in the room. And you can't deviate too far from your script, but you do have to acknowledge anything that happens, especially when we're interacting with audience members or whatever else. I definitely encourage them to use their improv abilities to keep the show alive in the moment. So it's not just, okay, what's my next line? But if something happens in the crowd, you have to incorporate that.
Love it.
And I don't think if I hadn't had the experience of doing improv at Dad's Garage, I don't think I would have been able to receive all that Kevin and his ensemble from Dad's brought to the process, because it's important to note that not just Kevin has directed this set script. there's a wonderful saying that scripts are not written, they're rewritten. And it takes a new play, 2, 3, 4, 5 productions to really find its sweet spot. So not only have they helped to update some references, but to really hone it as a dramatic piece of work. What was thrilling last night at the first preview performance is there's a moment where we even go so far as to question, is this seminar or this play real, or is maybe there really is a reality that's happening, breaking through into this event from a power much greater than ourselves. And the hair was standing up on the back of my head. And then I was really moved at one point. So it's just, and this is our season of hope. And a difference in this parody, and I think other parodies, is that not everything is torn down or made fun of. Something remains in this, and it's an incredible.
It is ultimately a hopeful piece. There is a lot of stuff in the world that it's, you know, you laugh or you cry at, so we choose to laugh. But in the end, I think this show is telling us there is hope, and I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitzes here with you and guests, Artistic Director of Theatrical Outfit Tom Key, with Guest Director and Artistic Director of Dad's Garage, Kevin Galese. We'll be back after a short break.
Support for WABE comes from the WellStar Cardiac Network, providing convenient heart screenings in your area for early detection of heart disease and other cardiac problems. Information on the Know Your Heart screening at 770-956-STAR or wellstar.org. And from Fernbank Museum, presenting Fernbank After Dark, a new monthly series for adults ages 21 and up. These science nights feature interactive discoveries, live music, giant screen films, and craft beverages.
Back with City Lights on WABE, and we're talking about Theatrical Outfit's production of Walker Percy's Lost in the Cosmos, the last self-help seminar. Walker Percy's book, the last self-help book. Tom, I know that theater is also a religious experience for you and for many. And I was wondering if you could talk about Walker Percy's theological leanings. Does that make itself felt in the play, that aspect?
I'd say it does in a significant way, that in that he is an author who is lasting. I think none of us can really judge art, what is art. And I always trust art to be entertaining. I don't think entertainment is necessarily art. And I think the difference is in the residual effect. But the real test is what endures and stays past generations, past other places, into other languages. And I think of Walker and four other authors, Thomas Merton and Dorothy Day and Flannery O'Connor, the mid-20th century. They were all Catholic. They all had very different perspectives. They wrote different kind of literature, from fiction, short story, to memoir. And they were all very impactful on the 20th century, and they all started from a particular point of view. I think what's important is not so much where an author or a creator begins, maybe in a formalized as a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Catholic or a Jew. I think what's important is the truthfulness of what they're witnessing and reporting. If they're true about that, I think about Faulkner's speech that art is a living thing. So even if you come across it 100 years later and touch it, it still moves because it's alive. Mm-hmm. And in this particular production, it's been amazing how 21 years ago, I was playing in Lost in the Cosmos, having adapted it, doing it in my first season. And I can't tell you how exciting it is, particularly last night, to go to our first preview and see people in my generation and people in a younger generation. There were five people there last night in their 20s who have just started a theater company, and they were dazzled by Lost in the Cosmos and Dad's Garage Ensemble and our theater. And it was inspiring to them, as well as the friends that I've known who know him. So that's what I think is important, is the truthfulness and the comic power that sustains Walker has gotten.
Kevin, I liked your response, you know, to your immediate attraction to the zaniness and the absurdity of this. And as one who specializes in humor, it made me think, well, if you like this, I bet you'd love Kurt Vonnegut. I have long felt Kurt Vonnegut, who was immensely popular when Tom and I were college age, you know, he's
one of my favorite authors.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. We need to take him on. Just in the last moment we have, has your attitude toward self-help books changed through this process at all? Do you need to read more or fewer?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. You know, I guess I think that what we need to do is read less self-help and read more help of other books. If there was whatever the opposite of self-help, how to help others, that's what I think we need to be reading.
And then we can find one another in the cosmos.
That's so true.
That's a beautiful thing.
That is a beautiful thought.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely.
Well, it has really been a delight having you both on. Kevin Galese is the artistic director of Dad's Garage. He is directing Lost in the Cosmos, the last self-help seminar at Theatrical Outfit. Tom Key is the artistic director at the Outfit. He's also the playwright who adapted Walker Percy's book. The play opened last night, and it runs through February 26th at the Balzer Theater at Herons. Time to see it. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lois.
Thanks.